folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and of course, it is Wednesday, and I'm here trying to fill in Melody's seat best I can for a little while, and we're going to bring up our guest in a few minutes. As always, we're going to talk to Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs. This young lady has a pretty good fan base. People tell me after they listen to this program, they call me on Thursdays here in the office, say, we listen to you on Melody's program, and we love listening to Wendy. So, yeah, she got a fan base out there. But anyway, before we go to our guest today, let's go and get started with the metals and the markets. Gold, bless gold's heart, it's up 57 cents, 1853.91. Silver's down 17 cents, 2207. Folks, I'm telling you again, buy silver now. Buy as quick as you can. Platinum is down 22 cents to 1011. Palladium was down 39.50, down to 1914.50. I mean, palladium been taking beating lately, so it is what it is. It's just happening. The USDX was up 0.22 to 102.54. The markets, well, they were mixed. The Dow was down 236 to 32.943. NASDAQ was down 84 to 1290. And S&P was down 42 to 41.17. Japan was up 293 to 28,234. Hong Kong was up 493, good gain there, at 22,014. London was down slightly, 5.93 to 75,93. Germany was down a little bit too, 109.79 to 14,445. The 10-year yield, well, is up 0.06 to 303. And oil, by golly, there we go again. Oil is up 242 to 122.30. Folks, we passed the 120 mark. I don't know how it is where you are, but our gasoline prices here in Nebbi, West Virginia today were 472.9. 472.9. It's somewhere in the middle of most places. I mean, further south, it's a little bit cheaper. North, it's higher. So, but we are seeing a huge hurt on people that have to buy a fuel every day to get back and forth to work, and it's hurting all of us, period. All of us, period. And all because Biden's energy policies, I was just listening to a talk show today that if Biden will let the markets or let the oil industry go back into full swing, oil prices would drop in half within a matter of a few days. So, yeah, it is his fault on this part. All right, let's go to our guest. Let's go to Wendy Wilson, a fine young lady I love listening to and learning from. And so do you all. So, Wendy Wilson, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Butch, and I agree. I think the administration we currently have is a big wrecking ball.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Exactly right. And they're doing it. They're literally doing it. Now, yeah. I'll tell you this. I know you got a lot to say, but would you believe I could find no automatic dishwashing compound, and I went to two stores and couldn't find any. Can you believe that?
You couldn't find what compound?
Automatic dishwashing compound.
Huh.
Dishwasher. Yeah, dishwashing compound.
Isn't that couldn't something?
Find we generally use Melaleuca. We're out of it, so I had to get some. Couldn't find any. Now, that's a fact. They had one jar of peanut butter left. One jar.
Oh, man.
We're heading down
the
hill.
I mean, I've seen hiccups in the supply chain as a business owner, but they're getting more severe. So,
Yes.
But, I thought today we would talk about the probability of an outbreak, okay, from science's perspective, because, you know, what is the probability that we'll have a world, you know, serious disease outbreak causing mass mortality? What's the probability of that? So this question was raised by Duke University Medical School in August of 2021. And after the release of the COVID pathogen, scientists wanted to know, what should we expect in the global pandemic scenario? So as the CDC and your state health departments across the United States are posting guidelines for smallpox on their websites, anxiety grows in the population when they see that kind of thing. Here's a quote from the journal article of the Proceedings of National Academy of Science. They posted this August 2021. They say, pandemics are not as rare as in the past 400 years. The new assembled record of past outbreaks, similar to COVID-19, was used to estimate the probability at about 2% in any given year, and the probability is growing. So that's their overall assessment of our risk of having a global pandemic. Now, the research did look at past influenza outbreaks and things like black plague, cholera, smallpox, typhus, the COVID-19, the bird flu, Spanish flu, and any new flu A strains of influenza. So you have to ask, what are the risk limits? What could possibly make the risk of a natural pandemic grow beyond what empirical history has proven? Well, here are some variables that can influence outbreaks and push risk margins higher. The pathogen could leak out of a containment lab. They're playing with it. Yeah.
By the way, that has happened more than one occasion, yes.
Right. International release or bioterrorism, yeah. Lack of preparedness and also international travel as the big spreader. So also you have to wonder what health authorities consider to be an outbreak. Here are factors they consider. They consider things like what kind of pathogen are they dealing with, what's the transmission rate, are there any treatments, and what is the estimated mortality rate. So that's what they kind of come up with their risk assessment. So let me ask you this, Pastor Butch. How many cases do you think we would have of smallpox for the alarm to go off for our health authorities in the United States?
Well, if we go by the same amount we had with COVID, probably five. That's all it takes to blow the whistle, so yeah.
Well, but
I don't know. What would you think?
Okay, well, with regards to smallpox, health authorities take the position as, quote, this is from the World Health Organization, one confirmed case of smallpox would be considered a public health emergency. One. Okay. So, yeah. So the Duke University study also found the probability risk assessments as Spanish flu to be 0.3% to 1.9% within the next 400 years. COVID-19, similar outbreak, they say within 59 years. A pandemic to exterminate human life entirely within 1,200 years. What do you think of that?
We better shut the country down now, then.
Well, Marco Marini, PhD, he is with the University of Padua, Italy. He also was with the Duke University study. He said, the data shows that the risk of intense outbreaks is growing rapidly, and the large outbreaks are becoming more common, end of quote. Well, you know, this is... It's not common. It's not what empirical history has shown, is it? So you got to see what's the other factor that's involved with this change. The researchers do not want the probabilities to persuade readers to think that there is time to let your hair down, let your defenses down. So in other words, we had COVID, so it'll be another 60 years before we have another one. They say that diseases can occur at any time. Here's a quote by Theodore Kolla, professor of hydrology and meteorology at Duke. He said, when a 100-year flood occurs today, one may erroneously presume that one can afford to wait another 100 years before experiencing another flood. This impression is false, and you can get a 100-year flood the next year. End of quote. So that's a kind of, you know, a shot across our bow, Pastor Butch, that even though these probabilities are being published, don't rely on them. Okay. And then there's the other thing that people are concerned about, and that's vaccine overload, right? Because you get a disease or even an unusual disease like COVID, supposedly a novel virus, but we found out it wasn't. They're gonna ramp up production of some sort of serum. So as the world reacts to a pandemic pathogen with vaccine treatments, people are wondering if there is such a thing as overdoing the vaccine therapy. So there is lively discussions about this and about the health risk of giving people and children too many vaccines. But science says there is no scientific evidence that supports these concerns. And we have to wonder, with the last pandemic and the risks of the new vaccine of COVID-19 being less effective and the clinical trial data being hidden, could science have valid research, do you suppose, Pastor Butch, that has been suppressed that proves that you can overdo the vaccine therapy. Well, I think there's probably studies there, but we just don't have access to them. This is from the Center for Biotechnology Information, National Library of Medicine. They said this May 2006. They say parents' fears about combined vaccine causing immune overload have not been scientifically proven. Policymakers need to recognize these concerns if they are to successfully persuade parents to take combined vaccines and they're safe. So persuade. They want to persuade you. See, they don't really have any of the safety data on vaccines. They never have had it. Okay? So, because before COVID, they had the World Health Organization had a meeting in New York about vaccines, and somebody recorded the meeting, and it got leaked out that these doctors were demanding science go back to the drawing board and get them the research that they have been telling patients for decades they had, but they don't have it. So, one Uganda. A physician stood up and said he was very, very concerned about the adjuvants that are the new element to the new generation of vaccines. He says there's no empirical clinical trial studies that guarantee that that is safe because it's being put in many, many, many vaccines. So how much is a safe dose? And if you're getting too much of it per vaccine treatment. So he says we need to know that, too. They don't even know that. We're kind of a big human experiment with regards to all this. And I believe
we have been for many years. We have been for many years.
Yeah.
We have been for a long time, yes.
We have. And I believe that if a person has an instinct, a hunch, a gut feeling about something, they should not deny that. Okay? There are thousands of people who have voiced concerns about the use of so many vaccines. Let me read you this quote from Dr. Gary Marshall. He's a pediatric infectious disease physician. He said, 100 years ago, children were routinely vaccinated against one disease, smallpox. 40 years ago, it was five diseases, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, polio, and smallpox. This is necessitating as many as maybe eight shots by the age of 2 years of age. So the routine childhood immunization schedule for 2010, he said, called for as many as 53 separate vaccine doses by the age of 18. So you can see the accumulative effect is there, but nobody's done any studies on it. And I've read from many physicians, virologists, people who have studied reports. Of course, a lot of that stuff got suppressed, but they said that there wasn't any Tourette syndrome and autism before 1980. And they linked it to the combining deadly pathogens in one vaccines like the MMR or the DPT. And one country doctor said that's how you got MS, multiple sclerosis, by doing that.
Wow.
Right? So you know, a lot of these.
Well, you know, I don't want to interrupt you, but how many diseases? Excuse me. How many diseases these vaccines have caused that we don't know of? I mean, many. I mean, cancer and everything else increase over the years. So much more.
We're going to touch on a few of those in just a second, but you know, what Dr. Marshall brought up is that we're kind of bombarded with not only vaccines, but pollutants, antigens, viruses, bacteria, naturally, funguses every day. And then when you add in the multiple ingredients that you find in vaccines, it could be overloading an immune system. So science says no to that because people are not sick all the time, but are mostly healthy, and the immune system is doing its job. Well, I want you to wrap your brain around this, Pastor Butch, and listeners, you too. Dr. Gary Marshall says this, the smallpox vaccine contains over 200 antigens, and the white cell pertussis vaccine contains over, the whole cell pertussis vaccine contains over 3,000 antigens. Do you know what an antigen is?
I really don't know.
Okay, so here's the definition. Medical definition of antigen is a toxin or other foreign substance which induces the immune response in the body. Toxic substances an antigen. So now here's what the scientific medicine has been reporting for decades about your vaccine. Vaccines expose the body to antigens, your toxins, for a particular pathogen and activates the immune system antibodies without causing disease. So the immune system activates when there is a threat of disease. And the COVID-19 vaccine, we were told not to expect activated antibodies. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't allow you to take an antigen test to prove you had antibodies when you took the vaccine because you weren't developing antibodies. So they said, that's not how this works. But therefore, it's really not a vaccine then, because that doesn't fall under the definition, the clinical definition of a vaccine. So what people are not told is that vaccines cause what is called immunosuppression. But medicine says it is a short-lived experience. Science knows your vaccines are causing many lifelong effects, like here's your diseases we were going to mention: type 1 diabetes, asthma, allergies, neurological conditions, and even cancer. So they know this. It's been documented. But science looks the other way and kind of tries to tell you you're crazy. So science states that your vaccines could not be producing these devastating conditions, Pastor Butch, for more people would have these problems. However, according to the Journal of Stat, there was a phenomenon they listed in that science calls imprinting, or also known as original antigen sin. I thought that was an interesting title. So this means that people have unique responses to the antigens in the vaccine, so not everyone will have asthma, allergies, diabetes, or Tourette syndrome, or any of that other thing. So you're going to be exploited in your weakest genetic link is what that means.
Wow.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
But this is so overwhelming to think that this is there's nothing that this has been planned. This didn't just happen last week.
True. I came across a journal article. I may have mentioned it to you before. It was back in the 1800s. It was a German physician chemist. He was playing around with different serums, and he was boasting in his writing that he could make anybody allergic to anything. It was about the proteins in the serum. So he could make you allergic to wheat, grass, peanuts, anything. So they've been playing around with this for hundreds of years, really.
And maybe that's why people have much trouble, like with gluten, a different thing. Maybe that's one of the reasons.
After World War II, the army physicians looking at the recruits happened to notice the celiac disease, and happened too suddenly, so it couldn't have evolved naturally, and they linked it to the modification of the wheat berry after 1945.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So people with celiac disease or gluten intolerance, they typically can eat all the bread they want overseas.
I'll give you a number. About out of time. I just flew by. I'm giving you a number real quickly.
Okay. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Oh, by the way, Pastor Butch, new formula coming out for smallpox soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Wendy, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Okay, take care now. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. Folks, we have a break. A lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I want to see how well you do.
All righty, folks, we are back in this Planet for Survival. This is Pastor Butch Paul in from Illinois today, and her number to call, by the way, folks, with the price of silver right now, what it is, you better call. I mean, really, this is phenomenal. 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And I have a surprise guest today. Her name is Melody Cederstrom with Discount Gold and Silver. Can you imagine that? She joined us. Melody, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. It's just a real pleasure to be here. And I hope I can answer all your questions.
Well, I'll let you kind of start off with what you want to say, then I'll go from there.
Well, you're the host, so I'm the guest. So.
I'm the host. Well, you're welcome. You take off. I'll just listen for a minute.
Well, I'm sure you went over the pricing,
I did, the market.
Did you do all the metals and everything?
I did. I just talked about silver. Silver's down the list a little bit over $22. What a time to buy.
It really is a good, they're both great to buy. And, you know, things are not going to get lower in cost. And I know there, you know, old Harry Dent's out there saying gold is going to 1500, 1400, you know, and he's the same guy that was when gold was 1000 that it was going to go to 700 and 500. And that's his pitch. That's what he, you know, bases his agenda, you know, that's what he sells. And so what if it did? What got fixed that would make that type of an impact? Nothing. The only thing that would be different is a stronger dollar, and that's manipulated. And so, yeah, so don't pay attention to all those folks. Just give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. There was one thing. Did you happen to see? I don't know if I can pull it up here. The U.S. import demand is dropping off a cliff. Did you see that?
No, I have not seen that. I did not see that. No, please share that.
Yeah. The latest ocean container bookings data reveals that despite the strong levels of inbound cargo during the first 5 months of 2022, import demand is not just softening, it's dropping off a cliff.
Wow.
Now, what they say is because capacity on the Trans-Pacific has remained relatively stable, freighters' container spot rates from China to the West Coast have plunged 38% month over month. Freight forwarders will... Yeah, it is huge. Freight forwarders will enjoy expanding margins on ocean freight, while U.S. trucking carriers and intermodal volume providers may start to see volume risks. They're saying that consumer buying patterns are normalizing, and the U.S. retailers are stuck with too much inventory. I don't buy that at all, you know, too much inventory. I don't think so. Go try to buy something.
I just told Wendy a minute ago that I was trying to get some automatic dishwashing compound, ran out of our normal brand. Two stores didn't have it, so where's it at?
Yeah, exactly. Container imports bound for the U.S. has dropped over 36% just since May 24th. So it kind of sounds like then all of a sudden there is a breaking going on, and we'll have to see how it funnels through. But all reports are inflation's not going to go away. It's just going to be getting worse and worse for the consumer, and things are going to continue to get more and more expensive. So,
well, as I reported earlier, oil went up to over $122 a barrel now,
yeah.
$122 plus. Actually, $122.30. Our fuel went up last night, our here where I live, at $472.9. So, yeah, we're seeing this. No, folks, it's not over. I did hear one talk show host or one guest on a talk show saying that if Biden would let the oil companies once again produce like they were when Trump was in office, we could cut the price in half in a few days. But, of course, Biden dried that up, and I can't believe that wasn't on purpose. That had to be on purpose. He didn't know what was going on. So that's my opinion, and that's what I see happening. But, no, we're not finished.
Not
even close. Go ahead.
No, I know that. And I don't think we could cut it in half in a couple of days, but, I mean, it would definitely make an impact because we don't have the refining facilities to do what needs to be done. I mean, you get to a certain point, and there's no catching up. You just can't turn it around on a dime.
That's true. And I know that, of course, we were exporting oil
yeah.
up into Biden cotton office. So,
and I think we've gone past that point, Butch.
It's a possibility, Melody. I mean, this nation has sold itself down the road by its leadership for many years, including manufacturing anything. We don't make anything for ourselves any longer. So we're at the mercy of other countries to make sure that we eat. And that's not a good thing to be.
Yeah.
It is a good thing to be at all.
Mortgage demand falls at the lowest level in 22 years. This is what happens when you have those rising rates. The average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with conforming loan balances, $647,000 or less, increased to 5.40%. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home fell 7% for the week, and we're 21% lower than the same week 1 year ago. We also have refinance demand drop 6% for the week and was down 75% year over year. So those are some pretty stiff numbers. Total mortgage application volume fell 6.5% last week compared with the previous week. Demand hit the lowest level in 22 years. So 22 years, folks. Let's go back in time. Let's take the time machine and go back 22 years.
2000.
And, yeah. And I think that I don't know if you gave the 10-year yield. That's over 3%.
I did. Yes,
so
I did.
I'm thinking those mortgage rates was going to be 6% here pretty soon. So
I don't know how the economy is going to react to all that. I don't think it's going to hurt. I think so much so quick. I think it's going to hurt more than it helps. What do you think on that?
What's that?
That the interest rate's going up so quickly.
Well, the mortgage rates are going higher than what the adjustments really for the than him increasing the Fed fund rates, and even the 10-year, even though it's over 3, but we were at 5% on the mortgages, you know, when the 10-year was at, you know 250 plus. So I don't know. It's I think this is because this is a deeper problem. And things are not functioning properly. I haven't looked up lately what the repo numbers are overnight and so forth to see how much they have increased. And so I think there isn't anything that really makes sense. And I think this is what you have when things are beginning to
unravel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fact. You know, on this program and my broadcast, I ask listeners if they give any first-hand knowledge of what's happening, and we'll say in stores around them, what's short and what isn't. I had a lady out of St. Petersburg, Florida, send me an email. Her name is Ellen. And if you like, I will read it to you what she says. And it's just a sad situation. But with what it doesn't surprise us, obviously, but she said, I listened to you and heard you say you wouldn't be interested in hearing about supply chain issues. The following is what I experienced today in Walmart. I went to Walmart to buy a fan, something you can never have too many of in Florida. I get to the checkout and I give the lady, Marilyn, a huge smile. She says, that's the best smile I've seen all day. Thank you. I said to her, even at Walmart, I get sticker shock. She tells me this old lady comes in the store to buy food for herself and her cats. Now, Millie, listen to this. This is so sad. The prices are so high, she can't afford to buy food for herself. She tells Marilyn to put her food back. She only wants the food for her cat. This is a $1.87 can of corned beef hash. So Marilyn has been buying this old lady's food for her. This cat is the only thing this old lady has. She would rather go without food than not have her cat for companionship. Then Marilyn says, look at all these rolls of tape on the shelf. There were stacks of yellow rolls of price tape piled on the shelf. Then she asked, look at all the rolls over there, pointing to the other stacks of price tape behind her. She explained that one stack is last week's price hikes. We never got them hung on the shelf before the new prices came in this week. The prices are going up so fast we can't keep the stickers on the shelves. So what's this old lady to do? She said, all these people all day long come through the check stand and they can't speak any English. And they have all this money for food on debit cards. Well, this lady is starving to keep her cat alive. She said that the old lady tells her she really doesn't want to eat anymore because the corned beef hash tastes horrible, but she gets so hungry she has to eat anyway. I said to her that I read an article that Walmart has developed an AI to set up in digital price displays that will fluctuate in real-time prices. Walmart knew over a year ago that they would have not be able to manually keep up the price hikes. And she says, why don't they fix the problem? Instead of developing a digital price sticker, she said, look at all these empty shelves. These products come in from Largo, the next town over, and they can't even get them here. The shortages have gotten noticeable now. The last time I was there, they were hiding shortages by putting the same product along the road to make the shelves look full. They can't do that now. At the checkout stand, there are 7 empty shelves. They can't get the big lighters from Largo onto the store. Largo's 20 minutes away. Two of the empty shelves are for the lighters. The stuff on the shelves is all crappy food that turns you into diabetic if you eat it. Then Marilyn says again, why don't you fix the problem? Then she offers a solution. They need to pay off the deficit. I thought, wow, compassion for Americans and economic sense coming from a Walmart checker. Why can't she replace Janet Yellen? So that's what's happening in real life. And this is in St. Petersburg, Florida, not known to be one of the poorest places in the world. The little lady couldn't even afford a can of $1.87 corned beef hash for herself. Now, that's a sad story. And then foreigners come through paying for debit cards that we pay for of our tax dollars. That should concern us a little bit, don't you think?
You would think.
I mean, I feel so sorry for these people, like this old lady, but how do you help them when they're spending billions on illegals and give them their baby food on the border and they're feeding them like with debit cards, but the American citizens cannot feed themselves? Melody, that is absolutely wrong, and it makes me angry. So the lady said, this is what's happening in Walmart in St. Petersburg, Florida. So there you go.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. It is sad. And then you talk about Walmart. Well, you know what? They make enough money that they're going to be buying the Denver Broncos. So there you go. You know, so they can continue to raise prices, you know, out to where people can't afford it. But so, again,
it's
these major corporations.
It's hard to imagine the difference between their wealth and the little lady can't afford corned beef hash.
Yes. Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely correct. But this is, you know, they're paying $4.65 billion for a football team.
And she can't afford $1.87 a can of hash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is absolutely breaks my heart.
And the reason I brought that up is because she was talking about being in the Walmart.
Yeah, right. Right.
So that's why I brought that up.
Because, I mean, Walmart's, according to what their records said, they were losing money or not keeping up pace what they thought they would, but they're still buying the Denver Broncos. So I don't feel too sorry for them.
No, not at all. $4.65 billion to buy the Broncos.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, I know. It's, and this is, I can remember reading an article. It was about baseball. And it was when the prices of baseball really started to go up, like, I don't know, in the 90s, and how much it would cost for tickets. And the discussion was, you know, how much is too much for these players to get paid? Because really, I think it was the baseball players who really started getting the big bucks first. That's just what I remember, but I could be wrong. But, and the article was about how much is too much. And, you know, we kind of ask ourselves all the time, how much is too much for these multinational corporations to make? I mean, I'm not a fan. I mean, if they're working hard and doing it, you know, hey, if it's they're earning it. But there is nothing that's trickling down to anybody else. And then these with the ultimate wealth that they have, look what they do to our cities. Look what they do to our politics. They have so much influence. And it's just wrong, wrong, wrong.
It is. But it's increasing every day, though. You know that.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, how much is too much? You get to a point where it's just a matter of nothing means anything anymore. It's just a matter of it's a vision into the future, a very short future, because it is unraveling, and this is all part of it.
Well, we have people in this country, and I won't take time to read all this, but shocking consumer credit numbers. Everyone's maxing out their credit cards ahead of the recession. All the money that they got a year or so ago and all these donations from the government that we paid for, but got our inflation through the roof. It's a big part of the inflation problem. All their savings are gone, and they're maxing out credit cards again, trying to keep up. And we're not even in the recession yet, so to speak. We're not in the hard part yet, and they're maxing out credit cards to the tune of trillions of dollars. I mean, that should concern us also, shouldn't it?
Should.
So, folks, we got to realize this is for real. After the break, I'll share the article, but Union Pacific Railroad is cutting fuel shipments to pilot Flying J truck stops and gas stations.
Yep. I said that a long time, Butch. How long is it before we begin to see the shortages at the gas pumps?
I guarantee you, it's here.
I said that from the very beginning. It's just a matter of time.
It is a matter of time. And in Florida, I listened to another program the other day. They're running out of diesel, a lot of stations now. They're putting signs up, no diesel available.
No diesel. Yep.
If truckers buy that from them, that means they have to somewhere else try to find fuel.
Yeah, I hear the music. Are you going to take us out? Or
you go right ahead.
We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom here with Pastor Butch Paul. And inflation is what we were talking about. And what else do you have? There's a story
I want to mention this, too, very quick, if you don't mind, Melody, because I've mentioned on my program and yours, too. We asked for our producer, our engineer, Todd, for prayer for his family. His dad was very sick and wasn't going to make it. His mom was, of course, part of the prayer also. But his dad passed away a little while ago. So keep Todd, his mom, Faye, and the whole family in your prayers, please, to get through this. It's a rough way to go. I want Todd to know we care for him and we're praying for him. So, folks, remember that, okay? All right, Melody, can I move on now? I don't think Todd would mind me doing that.
No, go right ahead.
Okay. Union Pacific rail to cut fuel shipments by pilot Flying J truck shops and gas stations. This doesn't make any sense. Shamik Konar, the CEO of Pilot Flying J truck stops and gas stations, explained during a hearing that on April 13th, Pilot Flying J was informed by Union Pacific Railways that the company was required to reduce shipments by 26%. Then in some subsequent conversations, UP asked them to reduce the rail shipments even further by 50%. Or face embargoes. Konar said that the reductions will significantly impact the availability of fuel and fuel prices. Pilot Flying J supplied roughly 30% of diesel exhaust fuel in the country. The trucking sector of our economy depends on DEF, as all trucks manufactured 2010 cannot operate without it. And the cut in deliveries will heavily impact the trucking industry. And folks, that will impact your wallet big time. According to Konar, no other companies are being instructed by UP or any other railroad to reduce their shipments to the extent that UP demands Pilot Flying J. Union Pacific's largest shareholders are Vanguard and BlackRock. Imagine that, Melody. They run the world. I mean, that's just basically a fact. UP also recently reduced shipments of fertilizer to farmers. Internet critic Jim Stone suggests that Pilot Flying J knowingly caused the problem by changing the paperwork to jam up the system, resulting in a steep loss in service. He wrote that the Pilot Flying J and UP are elite-owned and proposed that both companies are acting as a tag team, putting on a show to intentionally cause serious problems. That is a possibility. The ongoing crisis on the rails has paralyzed farmers, leaving them literally hours away from depopulating herds. That, folks, means killing or selling off the herds. I mean, more increase in the store because of the shortage of product. The rail crisis, which is harming the nation's economy, impacts the supply chain of U.S. agriculture, energy, and shipping across the board. To address the severe situation, the Surface Transportation Board, STB, held a hearing in late April, giving those affected the opportunity to speak. Pilot Flying J CEO Shamik Konar spent this time during the extensive testimony revealing the unprecedented difficulties his company faces following unheard of restrictions imposed by Union Pacific Railways. Operating the largest network of travel centers in the United States, Pilot Flying J was founded by James A. Husson II in 1958 headquartered in Knoxville, Tennessee. The company accounts for nearly 20% of the nation's over-the-road diesel supply and 30% of the diesel exhaust fluid DEF supply. Threatened by a severe reduction in rail service allocations, the company heavily relies on the roads to deliver its products. So whether that's both involved or not makes not a whole lot of difference. The results are the same. Price increases in scarcity. That's just the way it is. And folks, this article here says it's not just gas prices. Electricity rates are up 77% to 233% in the last year. Did you hear that?
Of course I did.
Gas prices surged to 486.5. This is on Monday. They went up since then, I'm sure. They went up 25 cents in the last week. A year ago, the average price of gasoline was $3.05 a gallon. Today it's $4.86. That's for regular gasoline. Electricity is up between 77 to 233%. I noticed that in my bill. I bet you have too, haven't you?
I have.
You know, and so if, man, this is not happening by accident. This is a planned scenario. It has to be. We've had 18 or 20 food processing plants or chicken farms, whatever, blown up or burned to the ground in the last 4 months or so. That is not coincidence. Any comments on that?
No. One thing I do know is, when something is about ready to collapse, a lot of weird things happen. A lot of things out of control. A lot of things are just, you know, people are throwing money down a rat hole and they're just, and I think it's all part of it too. But this whole reason we're here today was because of a globalization agenda. And everything that has happened, half of the people understand that it's an agenda and all done by design. And the other half, they just think it's, you know, the natural process of a country or something. I don't know what they think, but it is done by design, you know. And then there's also cycles. That's, everything is all built in. And they take advantage of crisis. So then they get to promote their agenda during these difficult times. Yeah, you talked about electricity. I was just reading that Texas, they're going to have one of their biggest draws of electricity. Was it today or tomorrow because of the heat that they're experiencing? Mm-hmm. The most ever.
So everybody go up and buy electric cars. That'll help a lot.
Oh, yeah. That. You can turn their air on if your battery is charged.
And they actually make trucks to run your house for 4, 5, or 6, 7 days now. So, yeah, folks, buy you a $200,000 car, and you might be able to run your house on electricity for a few days.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, ridiculous.
How many do you want?
It means you can afford to buy. But, we talked a while back about trucks hauling material without drivers?
Yes.
Autonomous trucks will deliver goods to Dallas Sam's Club stores. Now, folks, let's let this sink in. Autonomous trucks developed by Catic will soon be delivering paper plates and toilet tissue to Sam's Club stores throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And it's a new frontier for self-driving truck technology, which has been primarily focused on long-haul semi-truck highway pilots. Catic instead is targeting the so-called middle mile between distribution warehouses and stores or fulfillment centers. Gaddock today announced a multi-year partnership with Georgia Pacific, the big paper and pulp company, and KBX, transportation arm of Cox Industries, to automate part of the company's delivery network in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Starting in July, the driverless trucks will deliver goods 24/7 on predefined short-haul routes across a network of 34 Sam's Club stores. By replacing traditional tractor trailers with smaller autonomous box trucks, Gaddock will help Sam's Club and suppliers replenish stores more quickly while reducing logistics cost, the company said. That will mean somebody, all the suppliers, are going to lose their job. So there goes some jobs. But the trucks will drive themselves between stores, between 34 Sam's Club stores with paper supplies. No drivers. Just get on the road and let them go. I don't know how I feel about that. Melody, what's your opinion on that?
Well, I don't have an opinion on that.
Imagine that. That's hard to believe.
I know.
But that's just more jobs going, of course. But again, yeah. The self-driving cars have been killing people. You know
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah.
Run over people and crashing. So these trucks are going to do better.
But, you know, it's not a matter, who's out there to, reject or say anything any different?
That's it.
Because it's all based on, you just got to keep everything and everybody's, it's ridiculous. Volkswagen says they're actively looking to build a new electric vehicle and battery facility in the U.S. Well, yeah, because you got a president that's all he's pushing. So why wouldn't they do that? Because the wealthy Americans can go out and buy them. So we may as well make them over there. But they also have another plant. No, they do have plants in Tennessee and in Mexico. But they don't want to disclose the locations the potential locations for these operations to build these facilities in the U.S. now, because they're going around to see what's the best deal they can get from the city and the state.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
It's disgusting.
And American people, I would like to think, are smarter than sometimes we may think they are, to know that we've been deceived in so many different ways. And did we really think, Melody, that we could actually sanction Russia when they have allies like China and India right there to help them? I mean, India is buying up cheap sanctioned Russian oil and selling it to the U.S. and EU at, U.S. and EU at huge profits.
Yeah.
I guess you saw that. I mean, their imports have went from 30,000 barrels a day 800,000 barrels a day since the war began. They're selling us Russian products with their name on it at a greatly marked up price. They're buying it for $35 a barrel. Selling to us for $120.
Hmm.
And we really thought we could sanction Russia. I mean, I don't know how do you add to that? I mean, what do you say? I mean, Russia is making money. India's making a fortune, and we're paying for it. Isn't that great?
Yeah, and if you tell anybody that Ukraine, I don't like to use the word isn't worth a nuclear war, because those people's lives are worth. There's people losing their lives, and that makes it sound like it's. But is having a nuclear war, is this? Why aren't they doing it? Where's the big meetings and with these countries you don't hear anything about it.
No, you don't.
You don't hear any of these. You don't hear, Zelensky talking with Putin or their generals or whoever. The United States could be involved in trying to bring this all to an end. There was a couple of them that you heard every now and then, but you don't hear anything now.
No, we're not. Matter of fact, the UK is already sending some long-range rockets to Ukraine now, too. We already did. UK is going to join that.
Yeah.
The United Kingdom is going to send rockets. I mean, isn't that poking them in the face? I mean, isn't that making the situation worse, not better?
I would think so.
And we, of course, all we're hearing now is gun control here and in Canada. Gun sales are soaring in U.S. and Canada. Matter of fact, they hit a record last month, or let's see, 2.4 million background checks last month alone. And they're selling out of handguns fast to get them in. This is what we're seeing. I mean, Canada and America. People arming up because they're going to probably start trying to outlaw things and confiscate things. I wonder if they realize things are going to get worse and maybe they're a little bit afraid of people. That could be a good reason, couldn't it?
That what?
That's a little bit afraid of people. Then they know they're clamping down on American people. Maybe they're afraid of people because they're armed.
Nah.
So they want to disarm them fast as they can. We have some towns offering $50 gas cards if you turn in a gun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I just want to
share
that.
You know, there might some be that think that, but I think they also, I don't know. I can't go down that road because I really don't know. I just don't know. But, you know, well, they have certainly ramping it up.
They really are.
I mean, because I know all you hear about is all these supposed mass, you know, shootings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called chaos. And, folks, chaos will affect your bottom line. Chaos in the streets will affect what you pay for everything you have. A nation that's more or less at war with itself has a hard time keeping the shelves full and doing production. Let this sink in just a minute. It's going to affect you. So don't just shrug it off and think it's not going to bother me. It will bother you. It's already bothering us. It's already started. And if you haven't noticed it already, you haven't been in the store lately. I don't know if you live in a bubble or what, but I've certainly noticed it. And now, in my opinion, Billy, now's the time to buy metals because I don't believe they're going to go down a whole lot lower. I really don't. It may be a small blurp here or there. But when they start going up again, I think we're going to see things really going through the roof because the dollar is absolutely losing its hegemony in the world. More and more nations are quitting using it. I mean, we're going to see this dollar really inflate, and people are going to have a hard time. I think they better buy this gold and silver while they still can, while the prices are decent. I really believe that. Well, do you want anything to add?
No, it's just a matter of, I mean, I saw a headline here where rising prices, where was that? Lawn care costs up 22%. It's just a matter of time until you stop doing your lawn, stop hiring the people that do your lawn. And I mean,
I understand that.
Things are just going to continue to, as you said earlier, unravel. 800-375-4188. We'll be back, I guess we'll be back on Friday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.